Well, we're teaching this morning on divine healing. We've been talking about this here for a while now. And until the Lord takes me off the subject, because it sure needs to be taught. It's what the Bible says. You know, I've always gone on the things of people over the years. And when I grew up in the church world, they told us that we were supposed to be like Jesus. And then you turn around, and I found this out. If you started acting like Jesus, they said that all went away. You can't act like Jesus. But you're supposed to be like Jesus, but don't act like Jesus. You know, one of the most confusing things I ever saw in my life. Jesus' ministry was a healing ministry. And is number one, if he set a pattern, sort of stuff, if the pattern went away, that's sort of stupid. I mean, there is no purpose much of even reading the Gospels if we aren't going to be doing any of that. There's not much. We might as well tear them up and throw them away out of the Bible. They'd be of no value to us. And the value of the Bible is it's true. Hallelujah. And it's true for everybody. God hasn't. The Bible says God changes not. The only thing that changes is the church. The church keeps changing and changing their beliefs, changing their things that they believe. And boy, I'll tell you, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, I get stuff in the mail. They have this, you know, guy's coming down to Lancaster to hold it. He's one of the big shots now, supposedly in the church world. And he's going to be holding, you know, some conferences down there. I feel sorry. Anybody stupid, it goes listen to him. This guy, he don't believe in the miracles of the Old Testament. They've been proven. You can't believe that all that stuff's true. And folks, he's a big name right now in the groups. And, you know, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth. You don't have to believe those things and none of that kind of stuff. And he's getting to be a big deal. He's coming to town, sending me a thing to come into town. I'm going to tell you what, they ought to give any minister that goes to him, he ought to give him a good whooping for going to listen to that trash. We need to get back over, getting back into the truth of the word. That's not common anymore. I found this out being in the ministry. The Bible's not a common book to be followed or walked after today. But it's common with me. I'm just going to be uncommon. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I believe it's true. I believe what the Bible says. I don't care what man says, he knows. Hallelujah. The Bible's true. And it's proved out in my life and what it's done for me. Hallelujah. So we want to continue to walk in it. You know, one of the things I want to look at this morning here in our teaching. We've been teaching, and as I said, on divine healing, and we want to look at it because even among the so-called Spirit-filled church, there's very little teaching on divine healing. We take a mixture of going to the doctor and divine healing, and we try to mix it up. And what we need to understand, there is a higher level walk to walk in. It isn't that we're not against doctors and what doctors could do, but Jesus ministered to people and taught really how to minister to people and getting people well without a doctor. Jesus never sent anybody to the doctor. Now, look, folks, I ain't against a doctor. I mean, my words, we paid for people for medications and different things like that. We're not against it. But there is a place to walk that is higher, and you can't go there if it's never taught, and it's not taught anymore. It's not. We keep trying to bring it down. It's like ministers say, well, you know, you get people, you reach up there too high, and there are people can't make it. Well, I don't know. You don't kiss, you know, just think of science today stop because they said, well, you know what? There's some people that aren't going to be able to fix the television, so we're never going to have TVs because some poor guy ain't going to know how to work on them. We have this stupid idea. We need to understand this. If there's a level for me to shoot to, if I make it, say, halfway to that level, I made it halfway. There's one thing that they have proven out. If you lower a level, people go to a lower level than that. Always. And this is why today, this is our educational societies and everything. Everything's going to a lower and lower level. They keep trying to lower standards to make everybody happy. It doesn't make everybody happy. It only makes people dumber. And we live in a society of stupidity and ignorance. And the church is at the top of the list in it because the church keeps lowering the bar that Jesus Christ set. They keep lowering the bar and the standards of morality and purity and holiness. They lower the bar down and the church is at the, you know, this nation is as vulgar and evil stuff going on in it. Loads of it is the church's fault. The idea that God loves you because he loves you, he'll put up with you. My mama loved me and used to slap me. And she loved me. She didn't put up with stupid Ed. She made me act right. She set a standard. And see, we have today, there's no standards. And we've lowered them and we've lowered those standards. And it's, we've done it in all the areas of the Bible. We've lowered things. And so people live a lower and lower and lower life. I can just truthfully say this. I know from the time that I came into the kingdom today, there's more sickness and disease in the church world today than there was when I came into the kingdom. And the reason it is because of the ungodly church. The wages of sin are death. Death will keep on working. You can't keep sickness out and have sin. You can't keep it out. Sin will dominate. There ain't enough money. There's not insurance. You can't buy an insurance plan to override sin and stay well. There ain't one. You're just going to pay more and more money and get less for it. Because sin's going to dominate and rule. That's what it does. And so, it's one of the things that's coming back over to living right, doing right. One of the things that I want to talk about, we're going to eventually go over and I'm going to do some teaching. The Lord spoke to me about teaching on the areas of faith because we're talking about divine healing. Anything that we talk about is subject with God. It's about being in faith with God. Things all work by faith. And so, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we're teaching the areas of divine healing. I want to share something. Last week I made mention to you in the beginning about dealing in the areas of faith, about recognizing faith. If you're going to minister to healing people and things to people, you need to, number one, you need to recognize faith when a person's in faith or not in faith. If you don't know, you're wasting your time. A lot of the church world just wastes its time. They don't know what faith is. Most of the times I found this out over the year. If I, you know, somebody talks about faith and they'll say, well, I have faith. And I'll say, well, what is it? You're talking about faith. What is faith? And then they'll always say, well, faith is trust. Faith is this. They just give you synonyms. They don't know what it is. The Bible tells us what faith it specifically is. We can see faith. We find in Jesus' ministry, Jesus knew when people had faith. He knew it. Well, how did he know? See, people say, well, we need to teach the principles of Jesus. What good are they if we can't do what he did? What good is it all? It's all worthless. And we need to understand this as being able to recognize. I just want us to look this morning in Acts the 14th chapter. The apostle Paul is ministering because we see Paul understood and saw when people were having faith. I've learned over the years many times in ministering to people and recognizing that they don't have faith. You know, a person, just because a person had faith to get born again don't mean they have faith for anything else. Don't mean you have faith. You know, lots of times people have, you know, faith in one area, not in another area. And you need to recognize that. You need to recognize that about yourself. Faith comes by hearing the Word. There's things, if I want to develop my faith in an area, I need to sit down and listen to Word and listen to teaching in that area to develop my faith. It just doesn't naturally come to you. It doesn't happen that way. Faith is nothing natural that comes to you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, in the 14th chapter of Acts, I'm going to start at verse 8. And it says, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. So Paul's speaking. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. What do you think Paul was speaking? You don't get faith comes by hearing the Word. You need to understand this. The number one faith, the healing preacher was Jesus Christ. No one could have ever had faith in Jesus' ministry to be healed if he didn't preach healing. Faith comes by hearing. Look, we've been dealing over the weeks and showing you in scriptures where Jesus said, telling people their faith made them well. How did they do it? Faith comes by hearing. They're healing preachers. This is why we have so little healing in the church, because there's no healing preachers. They're not preaching healing. They gave up on living right. They don't preach that anymore, so people don't live right. People don't have faith to follow this stuff. People don't have faith, so people don't get healed. Why? Because it's not preached. Over the years, I've heard numbers of ministers, and I've heard people say things. They say, well, if God heals, why don't he heal in our church? Do you preach healing? No. Well, there's no faith for it there, you idiot. It don't just happen. It don't just take place. It says here, the man, Paul, seeing that he had faith to be healed, and said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet," and he leaped and walked. Paul recognized, Paul could see that somebody had faith. I can tell many times when I'm ministering, I can tell certain people, you can just tell when they got something, when it dawned on them. You can just tell it. See, this is why it's one of the things that you'll notice when I minister to people up here in the front. I just know, unless the Lord tells me to, I start ministering, talking to people. Why? To bring people to find out where they are in their faith. We find that Jesus did this to people, to find out where they are. You got to know where people are believing from, where they're coming from, where they're staying. We don't. We just all go ahead and lay empty hands on empty heads. And that's the empty head and empty hand ministry. We don't ever find nothing. You know, we're supposed to, the church should be the most intelligent group in the world. And many times we act like the dumbest people that ever came around. We don't even use good common sense. You know? We ought to understand what's going on and happening. You know, we read the stories in the Bible, but we don't learn from them. They're just nice stories. They're just, look at all these great things that happened. I don't care all the great things that happened thousands of years ago. If I can't have it today, why waste my time with it? What on earth do I want to waste time? I want to figure out what I can work today, what will help today. And if they don't help, then I don't need the Bible. And it seems today a lot of the church world don't need the Bible. They don't seem to have much need for it. But I would tell you, I need it because the thing works. God changes not. Hallelujah. And when I find principles in the Word of what God did, I know I can put them into practice today and they'll work, because the kingdom of God don't change because God don't change. Hallelujah. So you need to learn, as we go on here to look at some of these things, how Jesus worked through people and how ministering to people, we need to understand this, because many people today, you know, is teaching and preaching, well, God will heal if He wants to. Sometimes He does, sometimes He don't. Sometimes He answers prayer, sometimes He don't. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. All those wonderful things that are not Scripture and not in the Bible, but are preached by men and men's doctrines. Just like Jesus had to deal with when He was in the earth, because the teachers of the law, they have added all kind of things to the law, and they did all these things they put to it, and they're running around teaching. Jesus is walking around following the law, and they think He's not. Why? Because they're following the principles that they established and not the principles of the Word. This is why things don't work. I found this out. You know, I've always checked out. If I'm moving in an area and things aren't working, I stop. Am I in line with the Word? Am I actually doing what the Bible says? Or do I have my idea? I have my idea. I've run into times I had a good idea, but it wasn't the Scripture. And to get in line with the Word, things start working. Hallelujah. So you want to get in line with the Word. Everybody's done it. Everybody's missed it. There's one thing, as I learned, I was so glad when I was a young boy, I rejected the Christianity that I was taught. I'm so glad, because I thought, if God is like these people say, I don't want Him. My parents asked me if I wanted to go to heaven, and I told them no. And they were just shocked. You don't want to go to heaven? I say, why would you think this God that treats you bad down here is going to be nice to you when you get up there? He's killing everybody and doing all kinds of stuff down here. You guys say it. He's doing all this stuff. Well, if He's doing it, you think He ain't going to be doing it there? He changes not. You know, and so I said, no, I don't want to go with Him. See, they had a schizophrenic God they teach. Most of the church has a schizophrenic God. One day He's nice, the next day He gets up the wrong side of the bed and He's miserable. And then He's going to get everybody. I figured this, if God wanted to get me, what could I do about it? If He's God, what does it matter? How are you going to stop Him from getting you? So, you know, I gave up on that God bit as a bad job. I just figured that thing ain't going to work, because it didn't work for them. I watched them in the church. They weren't happy. They never knew what God was going to do. They never knew. They talked about faith, but it was some abstract thing. And it ain't no fun living there and living in that. In Luke, the 18th chapter, I want to go there. We're going to look at an example here of Jesus and ministry. We have done numbers of them, and we're going to look at other ones too, because these are important, because we look at what Jesus in ministry and looking at what He said. I like what John G. Lake taught, and I John G. Lake had an absolutely astounding ministry, and especially in the areas of healing and miracles. He knew some things about it. He knew more than I did, and knew more than I do. But I sit down and reading his stuff, and looking at things that he taught and said, and he said if Jesus specifically said something about a certain thing, he said Jesus was always, to him, was always the last. That was the last word on the subject, no matter what anybody else said. Jesus gets the last word. And so I always look concerning things of Jesus in ministry. Now, in Luke, the 18th chapter, in verse 35 says, "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" If you look in Mark tells us concerning this guy, this was the guy who was blind Bartimaeus, is who this was. It's interesting. So he's a blind man. He's sitting along the road. A crowd's going by. He can hear what's going on. He asks what's happening, and they said it's Jesus passing by. Now, we know this from him, so he must have heard about Jesus, because they said Jesus of Nazareth. He knew this was his ticket. So he started yelling. And you can always tell the religious crowd, keep it down. Let's be passive. We got to be passive now. Everybody be passive. Don't be act. Be passive. If God wants you to have something, you'll get it. And if he don't, you won't. The passive Christian. If God wants you to have something, you'll have it. And if he don't, you won't. That's one of the most deadly teachings and demonic teachings in that the devil has got into the churches, which is being preached. If God, I found out in the Bible that God wanted everybody to be saved, so they didn't get saved. So God's a liar. He don't want everybody saved. Because if God wants you to have it, you're going to have it. So God must be a liar if they're telling the truth. You don't get it just because God wants you to have it. You're going to have to respond to it by faith. So number one, I love this man's tenacity. He don't care about the crowd. If you want to go anywhere with God, you got to quit loving the crowd. The crowd got to quit being, what everybody else is doing, and I want to flow in the crowd. This has been through, you study church history. I like studying history, revival histories and stuff and things like that. I've always liked history things. Is looking into them. It's one thing, as I've found out, revivals never came through the crowd. Never, ever happened. Revivals came by people who stepped outside the crowd and went after something the crowd didn't have. And if you want something, you're going to follow the crowd, as Randall Greer says, concerning following the crowd. He said, if you look at the direction that 80% of the church is going today, he said, if you just head in the opposite direction, he said, deep by default, you'll probably be following God. We don't follow the crowd. See, we got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God and follow what God's doing. This man saw that his deliverance was nearby. He is not going to let this thing get away from him. See, he's not passive. He's not passive about this. He wants this thing. So he's yelling. And the crowd says, be quiet, So the crowd likes, the crowd says, stay blind, stay sick, stay poor, stay this. Jesus has you that way for a purpose. That's the crowd. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus didn't listen to the crowd. We find verse 40, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now I want you, this is very interesting. Because, you would think that from the standpoint, do you think Jesus didn't know the guy was blind? Jesus is getting this guy to respond. Jesus is getting this guy set in his faith in his direction. You need to understand this. If you want whatever it is you want from God, if your faith isn't set in direction, and this is one of the things you have to learn with people, this is why I'm talking about seeing people, whether they have faith, you have to learn how to get people. Jesus asked this guy, he asked him, what do you want? He wants the confession out of this man's mouth. He wants what this guy's going to say. This is what he wants. This is why most people never get healed. Even they come in a healing line, majority of people don't get healed because they have nothing on their voice. They unbelieve. They'll say, I'm believing, you know, I'm believing God. You ain't believed till you said. You can't get saved believing that Jesus is Lord. You got to confess it. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It don't say with believing is made unto salvation. Confession. You can believe Jesus is Lord and you don't ever confess it. You don't ever get saved. I don't care how much you believe it. You can believe this roof is going to fall on you today, and if you still sit here and it falls on you, you'll be as dead as everybody else that sits here. Believing don't amount to anything till there's action taken. That's why people know nothing about faith. We think faith is just because I say I believe something and I said I believed it, that's just the way, you know, it's all right. I believe something. Well, big deal. It's your actions on it that produce. It's like James said, faith without works is dead, or faith without corresponding actions is dead. Now listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. He didn't say, receive your sight, I healed you. Jesus said his faith did it. It's like I've said time and time again. We have wall sockets here. You can plug things into them and run electrical things. But you need to understand this. Till you plug into that thing, I don't care how much power is there. What causes things to be done, if I plugged a vacuum cleaner here to vacuum the floor, that socket don't vacuum the floor. The machine does. It has the power to turn the vacuum cleaner on and make it work. There's power in there to be healed, but you will get no healing till you plug into it. And you're going to have to be faith. You're going to have to be the healing machine. Your faith will make you whole. This is why people don't get whole. They're waiting for God to heal them. It is only natural if I do what I need to plug in there. It's just like that. I don't sit here, I don't get on my knees and pray that the vacuum cleaner might start. I throw a switch, I'm planning on vacuuming. I don't throw it, what if it don't come on? I don't know if I ought to try. Maybe it ain't God's will for the vacuum cleaner to run today. You just never know. Maybe he don't want the floor swept. It didn't start itself, so it must not be his will. That sounds dumb. Folks, that's what's preached in the church world. There's nothing funny really about it. It is shameful that sick Christians sit and have to listen to that nonsense. And then they go away sick. They go away bound. They go away poor. They go away messed up lives. Because they're told, well, it'll just happen if God wants it to. You got to plug in. If you know how to plug in, it'll work every time. And it ain't hard to plug in. You just got to hear the right things. You know? I heard the right things. You plug the vacuum cleaner in and you look for the switch on it to turn it on. And then it really goes, starts making noises. And then you run around on the floor. See, I got the right information. I can get the floor swept. And so, you know, I don't have to wait for a certain time. I can get that vacuum cleaner out any old time I want and run it. And I'm going to tell you, have healing any old time you want it. Like salvation. I waited 30 years to get salvation that God made for me 2,000 years ago, and I waited until I was 30 years old to get it. It was always there. I never plugged into it. And people say, well, you know, God. It wasn't about God. It was about what Ed finally heard and believed. It's what my knucklehead came to the place. Well, I believe, and as soon as I used my faith and plugged in to save, I got her. I didn't have to wait 20 years. I didn't have, well, maybe it's not his will for you to get saved today. See, we got to come past these things. We got to get. God is so much better than he's preached. I don't care how I preached him, he's better than I can preach him. He's absolutely wonderful. He's absolutely glorious. And he made a plan that is easy, and we've made this thing so hard, and we've beat this thing down. My words. Your faith made you well. Hallelujah. Said immediately received his sight. You realize Jesus didn't touch him, just said to him, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the power jumped out of the socket and hit him, and he got blind. The blind got seeing. Hallelujah. Faith will draw the power of God. I want you to understand this. The more faith an individual has, I can tell when the anointing is on me administering the areas of healing. I can tell when people have more faith than others. The power will pull out of me much harder in some people than it does other people. I've had a ready where the anointing is on me and that stuff where I've just walked in front of people and they fell down under the power. It jumped. Their faith, the power's pulled right out of you. It depends about people. See, I've learned over the years how to pull power out of people. I've had people lay hands on me. In fact, I've had people lay hands on me already and almost knock them down, and they were doing it. So much power hit us both. I'm going to tell you, because I believe this. I don't go to have somebody lay hands on me to see what happens. I know it's going to happen to go. The power of God's going to go into me, and I'm going to get what I came there for. That's what's going to happen. I'm not wondering if something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Somebody got some power in them, I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. Plug it. I stick my finger in that socket. I don't have to wonder what I'm going to feel. I'll tell you what I'm going to feel out of there. Glory to God. So you learn to hook up with the anointing. So we need to hook up. Glory to God. Jesus just said the word to him and the man got healed. Hallelujah. You know, I want to say to you this about faith, because it's interesting concerning faith, people having faith for one thing and not having it for another. One of the things I remember years ago, and Kenneth Hagin talking about this, and it happened to him in a meeting. I've had some things happen over the years myself with people, and I find it very strange where people can believe God even for healing. One area they can believe God to heal them, and another one they can't. And it's both dealing with health and healing. And sometimes people say, why? I don't know. I don't know why. It's some people just get a mental block in some areas. And Kenneth Hagin tells a story. He was holding meetings at a church. And they were ministering healing to people. And he said, this woman got up and she came up through. And he said she was on a cane and she come up. And he said, you know, she was hobbling along, you know, on the cane. And came up in front of him. And so he said, looking naturally at her, you know, you think you're going to be ministering to her because she's holding the cane and she's having trouble walking. And she gets up in front of him and she says to him, she said, I was just sitting back there. And she said, I can't hear. And she pulled her hair back, and both ears she had hearing aids. And she said, I got hearing aids, but she said, I still can't hear. She said, I don't get 50% of what's said. She said, I can sit over near the speakers and stuff, but I still can't hear. And she said, I need to hear. And he said, she took those hearing aids out. But she said to them, she said, you know, I just decided sitting back there. Now, I want you to understand what she said. This is one of the biggest things. Right? You're going to see, you want to see miracles. You want to see things happen. She said, I was sitting back there, out there saying, you know, she said, pastor up here. And she said, you, Brother Hagin, I just said, that's Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. And I'm going up there to get my healing. She said, I'm going to hear. And he said, he laid hands on her. She instantly got her hearing back. He said, they checked her out, whispered, do all kind of things, have her in one direction, and they're talking back in this direction real light. She can hear everything. She can hear it perfectly. Well, you know, she would thank God and everything. I'd turn around and go hobbling off. And Brother Hagin said, hold it. He said, what about this thing? And you're walking that stuff. She said, oh, I can live with that. And he said, she did. She did. I know an individual that one area that I've seen that thing that I've seen them come through life-threatening situations in the hospital with infections that they had because of a problem that they had. And I saw them and the doctors had no hope for them, and they made a huge, fast recovery. Doctors were astounded more than one time. But the main area problem that they had, they could never get a hold of and heal. And I knew it. They could never get a hold of it. But yet, another area, they could get healed like that. See, that's us. That's not God. That's us. That's not God. That's us. God did everything He could to try to heal that dude. I was in his bedroom one night praying. He was in a bed, bedridden, and I got praying. The power of God came into that room, and I can say this, it was one of the most miraculous things I've ever experienced in my life. And I've had a few experiences. The power of God came in that room. I didn't see Jesus, but I'm going to tell you what. I know He was in that room. I could just, the power of God was in, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the power come in there, it's like you almost couldn't stand it being in the room. That glory was in there. It's like, oh my God. It was almost like breathtaking. And I remember, I'll never forget, I was down on my knees praying. I looked over at the bed, and the guy's laying in the bed, and I'm thinking the whole time, why ain't he getting out of bed? Why isn't he getting up? I think you could have almost got anything you wanted in that room at that time. Well, that anointing lifted. That anointing lifted, and I just sort of confused, but I thought, well, I just went back to praying again. I started praying again, and that glory came back the second time the same way. Just came into that room, and I remember I stood up, and I looked at him in the bed, and he just, in the bed, I'm thinking, why ain't he getting out of that bed? Why isn't he getting out of that bed? And I'm, what's going on? Well, the glory ended up dissipating and going away. And I looked at him and I said, you didn't sense that glory in this room? He said, oh, yeah. Well, I said, why didn't you get out of bed? He said, I was afraid if I did, I'd fall. See, you can't make people get healed. You can't make people get healed. There's people you ain't going to get them healed. You can't do it. God can't do it, much less you. People have to cooperate with God. He was afraid he would fall. Now, I don't know, maybe, you know, like with me, I'm just sort of the guy, well, let's take a shot at it. If I'd fall, I'd rather fall trying to get it than lay in the bed. But you know, people are different about things. If you're touchy about stuff and you're afraid something's going to happen, you're going to have a hard time because something's going to happen. I'll throw caution to the wind. I would rather miss God trying to get something than sit around and just play the thing of, you know, let things go by. And you need to understand the importance of these things. We're talking about divine healing. And you need to understand, you know, we look in the book and we see these things, but people always have questions. Why didn't somebody else? They don't realize. This isn't about God. It's about us. It's about us. And when we deal, see, I don't have to worry about taking care of God's part. That's His job. His healing power is His job. My job is to connect with it with my faith. That's my job. Most people are always concerned about God's side. Forget about it. His side, He'll take care of it fine. You don't need to be. When you find out what He did in His side, the promise that He made, that ends that subject. Any questioning beyond leads you to nothing but unbelief. I know 2,000 years ago, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I know that He did that. So that is a done subject. I knew He took my sin on the cross. I never have to deal with that again. That's a done deal. Now it's Ed's side. From now on living out here, it's about me cooperating with what He did. Am I going to cooperate with it or keep looking at His side and say, it ain't working, God. Must be your fault. Wasn't that, you didn't do what you said. See, it's about my side. Hallelujah. When I got Kenneth Hagin's little book, when I first got saved, and the book was called Don't Blame God. One of the best things I ever got in my life. A little book. I don't know if it had like 20 pages in it, maybe. I don't know, maybe less. I'll tell you, changed my life. Because I started off on the foot not blaming God. Not looking at why things don't work, looking at what God did. I found out God did just fine. Sometimes I wasn't doing fine. Sometimes I wasn't cooperating with God. So, but I found out, don't blame God. He's on your side. Hallelujah. You need to understand this about faith. Some people say, you know, whether or not God heals or not. They say, well, He doesn't heal today. Well, these people got healed by faith. So if he doesn't heal today, then faith don't work today. Your faith can't make you whole, so faith don't work today. Does faith maybe don't work for salvation either? Maybe it don't. See, if faith don't work. See, I don't get healed by winning the book they said I could be. When I found out that healing was in the book, I believed it. Faith will come to me because I believe it. If I believe the word, faith comes so I can have healing. If I believe what the word says about healing, I can have it. See, faith hasn't gone away. Anybody tells you faith's gone away, they'll never say that, but they'll say healing left. Well, then faith had to leave too. Because if they got it by faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How could I sit down and read about all these healings and not come up with some faith on healing? You know, anybody really who turns around and says that God don't heal today and then has the gall to put in a prayer request when they get sick, I'm going to tell you what, that is as low life as you can get on the totem pole. You know, I've heard people do that over there. Well, I don't believe God heals till they get sick and all of a sudden they want well. See, if somebody believes that way and they ask me, I say, why are you asking me to pray for you? You don't believe God heals. He might not want you to. I can't pray for you because if he wants you sick and I'm praying for you to get well, I'm going against his will. Now, I don't want to get, the Bible says whatever isn't a faith is sin, so it'd be a sin for me to pray for you to get well when God wants you sick. See, now what are you trying to get me into sin? Messed up like you? You know, we have a fraudulent Christianity today. It's full of fraud. It's full of all kinds of things, and people don't realize it. They make statements over on one side, then on the other side they're trying to get to say what you couldn't have over here, but now I'm trying to get it. It's a messed up mess, and there's no faith. See, there's one thing about the Bible. The Bible changes not. The Word changes not. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It don't say some are okay and sometimes he don't do. You got to get it settled in yourself. Get it settled in you. And you're not going to stay settled in yourself because there's many voices speaking the opposite all the time. That's why faith comes by hearing and by hearing. You got to maintain yourself in the Word of God because there's always going to be more voices speaking on the other side trying to get you to accept the bad that's happening in your life instead of get delivered. And that's why I learn over the year. You know, I just don't pay no attention. Like Mike said, see, somebody might think out there really sounds sort of cheesy because, you know, they're saying, well, yeah, I'm an old sinner. I am not an old sinner. I'm saved. I'm born again. I was a scumbag, but I ain't no more. I'm a child of God. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm anointed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's God, what God has done to me. To sit around and talk about I'm still the old scumbag I was. I won't listen to that. We ain't singing that number. We ain't singing that thing. I'm not slapping Jesus in the face and say, you know what, you really didn't change me. I'm still the old scumbag I was. Is the gospel preached today as you're just going to sin anyway? Well, you know, you're just going to sin. We preach a gospel of sin today. You're just going to sin. The Word says sin ain't going to lord over you. And they preach today, sin will lord over you. Well, you're a Christian, but you're just going to sin. Well, no wonder Christians sin like crazy today. They're told they're supposed to. They have faith for it. They have faith for sin. Hallelujah. Preach the word to me and make me afraid to sin. See, the church don't hate sin today. They don't hate it. They don't hate sin. They don't realize the dangers of it. They don't realize it. Majority of Christians are sick because of sin. It's sin of unbelief. See, don't take unbelief as a sin. Unbelief's a sin. We don't look at that. Worry's a sin. It's a sin to worry. Oh, I thought it was the homosexual we had to stand against. That other stuff was all right. It isn't quite as bad, you know. It'll only kill me, but it ain't quite as bad. Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to look at one of my most favorite in the Bible is to look and go to Mark the 5th chapter. is a woman with a flow of blood. I've always loved this one here because it is so clear concerning, we see the healing and deliverance is what happened here. We see a clear picture of faith. It's a very clear picture. In fact, one of the things I remember is Kenneth Hagin teaching on this, and then I heard some years later that one of the visions that he had, Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus specifically spoke to him and used the woman as an issue of blood is to explaining faith and healing. And Jesus told him, if you practice what you see that this woman did, you'd be healed every time. And so I learned with this thing, and I remember because I always liked this because of what you could see out of this wonderful, story here of deliverance for this woman. And it's interesting. Mark 5 and verse 25 says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years." Now, so for 12 years, this woman has had a flow of blood. So her illness has been for 12 years. It says, "And had suffered many things from many physicians." So it isn't enough you're suffering from the disease, you're suffering from the physicians. A lot of people today do that. A lot of people suffer a lot of things going to physicians and going to stuff. They're suffering a lot, it's one of the things I found out one time is, talking to a doctor. Doctor talked about doing a certain procedure and on an individual. And they wanted to check a certain thing and do a certain thing, but they really didn't need to. It causes them problems, discomfort and all this kind of stuff. But just check just in case. I said, it's easy for you to tell them to do it. Let me do it to you. He changed his tune a little bit. I said, you don't care. I said, you don't really care what people have to go through. This is about your thing, ain't it? I said, you admitted they don't even really need it. Have some good sense. Just because somebody says you have to go through something don't mean you have to go through it. Hallelujah. Have some wisdom. She suffered many things. She had spent all that she had and was no better. Obamacare didn't work. It made her poor and she's still sick. This is America today. This is the American church today. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Ed. Glory to God. But she only got worse. Now listen to this. When she heard about Jesus, it says she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. But I want you to see, she heard about Jesus. Well, we got down to this as we have to do this. Faith comes by hearing. What did she hear about Jesus? Now, she had to hear certain things. She couldn't have had faith for what she had not heard. She had to hear. Somebody had to tell her what was going on. Now, one of the things concerning Jesus, if we look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus in Luke 4, it says this in Luke 4 in verses, and starting in verse 14, it says, Jesus returned. This was after Jesus was in the wilderness, come out of the wilderness. He was tempted. It said, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. News of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified at all. And then he said, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, this was the custom of Jesus. This was the custom of his ministry. This is what he would do every place that he went. Jesus went, says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And it was handed to him the book from the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." In other words, he went on to tell them what he was anointed to do. He's the fulfillment of this. He would go into the synagogue and the first thing he would do was tell the people what he was anointed to do. This was commonplace. This was commonly heard. People knew of him. Every day, Jesus, every Sabbath, every Saturday, he went to the synagogue. He went into a synagogue and he read this stuff to people, telling everybody, "I'm anointed to set the captive free. I'm anointed to, this is what I'm here for." Isn't it amazing how many people didn't accept it? He said, "That's what I'm here for." It's the same way today. There's people, there's ministers who are mocked and knocked. People say, oh, healing ministries, oh, they're of the devil and this and that and the other thing. They're the same Pharisees. They're the same Pharisees are here today as just as he was. It ain't changed a lick. If you're going to get persecuted, it is not by the world. It is mostly always by religious people will be your greatest persecutors. Follow the scriptures. They were Jesus' greatest persecutors. They were Paul's greatest persecutors. They will always be your greatest persecutors. And you have to learn to walk in love with them and not fight with them. Because if you spend your time fighting with them, you'll lose your anointing. The thing you go is you just go in anointing, and people have a choice. They can listen to them or listen to you. That's up to them. It ain't my job to make anybody hear. It's my job to speak. That's my job. Whether you hear or not, that's up to you. I can't force it on you. I'm not going to try to force it on you. If you want to hear, then hear. So he went and preached those things. Now, what did this woman hear? We know this from a standpoint. This was two places in Mark. Mark and Luke both talked about this woman. But both of them have these two scriptures before that are listed before the event where it shows up and she's coming to get healed. In Mark 3 and 10 it says, for he healed many so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And in Luke 6:19, he said, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all. You see, she heard about this. She had to hear about this touching thing for her to have faith for that. You understand? She had to hear about that. This isn't just, well, it was God's will to heal her that day. It was just not. No, she had heard. She heard about this. She heard about the testimonies from people who, that, you just touch this guy, you get healed. That's why this took place. So when we look over here, she said something. Number one, she heard. And when she heard, she did the second thing. She believed what she heard. The next thing she did, she said what she believed. I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be your success of if somebody's going to minister to you healing or whether you're going to take a hold of it yourself, however you're going to do it. But when you're, especially, I just say this because people come up to get hands laid on them. They'll go to different ministers and that stuff. There's some people, they've had hands laid on them dozens and dozens of times and nothing's ever happened. And I will tell you why. Because they don't come in faith. Now, that's not to knock anybody. I'm just telling you. Number one, people, do you actually believe like this woman does? Do you believe what you're going to do is going to actually bring to pass what you want? Or are you just going to go to find something that's going to happen and see if it works? Number two, if you haven't made a statement yet of what you believe is going to be happening, your faith ain't been released. You're not getting anything. I would never have anybody lay hands on me without first saying, when they lay hands on me, the power of God's going to go into me. And I'm going to be, if it'd be for healing, I'd say, I'm going to be healed. When they touch me, the power of God's going to go into me. It's going to bring about a healing and cure in my body. That's what's going to happen. See, most people, 99% of the church is totally silent. We go silent. We go back silent to our seat and say, you know, that didn't work. I don't understand. Nothing seems to be happening. I've been a week since it, and nothing's been changing. Well, of course it's not. You've been saying it ain't been changing. Nothing worked. You're having exactly what you said. You got what you believe. You got everything, 100% of what your faith believes. You got 100% of it. You ought to be excited. Your faith is working great. What you believe in took place. Why on earth would you be sad? I'm going to go up and get hands laid on me and I'm going to complain afterwards. Yes, sir, that's what we're going to do. It ain't going to work. You ought to have something on your voice. I'm going to tell you what, if you thought you were going to get healed, it'd be good if you got a smile on your face and act like it. I wouldn't go up no line with a long face. Dear Lord, I'm going to get well. That's why you go to the doctor. You see all them people and the long faces in the room. You don't like to go in there with them. Dear Lord, they're all sitting around. Got to tell you a bad story. People love to go to those places, though. They like them. They love it. I'm going to tell you, they'll go to the doctor if they find out he don't work. Then they say, let's try Jesus now. Jesus always gets second, third, or fourth shot. Okay. Now I'm getting meddling, ain't? Now we're meddling. Glory to God. But she made a statement. In other words, her faith now is in motion. She's heard and she believes what she heard. Then she turned around and she's acting on. She said what's going to happen. Now she's going to carry it out. She's going to do it. She said, if I can touch his garment, I'd be made whole. But the crowd's too big and there's too many people and it's just too much. There's a multitude. It's too hard to get through and I don't feel good. I'm not going to church today because I don't feel good. But I will go sit in the doctor's office for an hour and wait. I don't feel that bad at the doctor's office because, you know, he's holy and wonderful and good, and we can, we'll worship him for a while. We'll even pay him. How you think about things, folks, I know this sounds funny, but how you think about things is going to determine how you view it. You know, I'm going to tell you, see, to me, Jesus and healing are the top of the list. Anything else is below. Anything else is below. The doctor is never the first thought. With me, he is never the first thought. Never. See, whatever gets on the top of your list is going to be the things that you're going to, that's what's going to motivate you to do. That's going to be your motivation. Now look, I'm not knocking people. This is just the way it works. Your faith is going to be strong in what you put your faith to first. That's where it's going to be strong. That's just the way it is. I can't change that. Whatever you put first is where it's at. See, most people, they get a problem and then they find out whatever their problem is and go through all the motions. Then I'm going to get in faith with God. And it's usually a process. It takes some time to try and to get in faith. And if you come up with anything that's deadly, you'll probably be buried before you ever get to the place of faith. Oh, yeah. I've done funerals of people that they just didn't have time to get it fixed. They couldn't get themselves, they didn't have time. They waited, they depended on things. And you got to get yourself over there where you start to set yourself in there. We're just teaching the Word of God. If this woman went through all the things, when she heard about Jesus, she made a change in who's the top of her list. And she said, now I'm going to get it. Now she's going to do something that's not, now understand this, under the law, actually a woman with a flow of blood under the law is not even allowed in a crowd. She's not even around among people. Under the law, a flow of blood, a woman is not allowed to. When a woman had her monthly, you know, thing, she was not allowed to go out into public and get around people. Because anybody touched her, they were considered unclean. She is unclean. She can be stoned for what she's doing. You think you got problems? You ain't ever pushed through nothing yet. Here in America, we ain't nothing but a bunch of whiners. Any kind of pressure, they're treating me bad. They didn't give me a trophy. This woman's going down through there. She's going down. She's going to push through this crowd. This is a multitude. The Bible says they're thronging him. This is not some easy thing to do. She touched him in verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this has always amazed me. I've talked to you about this before because the disciples say the dumbest things you'd ever hear in your life. These guys are they're walking with him and following him. And this is why I say, you can be as spiritual as Peter and John. Dear Lord, these guys here, they were dumb as a stick many times. These guys didn't get it. This woman, God, she knew that power had come out of Jesus. She got near. These guys had watched him minister, walking with this guy around, living with him, watching him minister. People are getting healed by touching him. And they had come up with the stupid idea of, well, what do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Look at all the people. They still didn't get the idea of the anointing. They didn't have a clue. And I'm sorry to say, that's most of the church world today, don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. We know nothing about the anointing and its flow. We don't know nothing about how it works. You know, people people could do the same thing with me. The Lord told me, he said, the healing, you always have healing anointing. He said, when you minister to people, he said, the anointing is always there to heal. He said, it's whether people want to take it or not. He said, it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. He said, the anointing is always there. People could, if they decided they want to come up and touch me and get healed, they can do it if they want to set their faith in that direction. That's up to the person. That ain't up to me. Wasn't up to Jesus. Jesus didn't choose that. We're so tied to our little canned Christianity that we put, you know, three little things in a jar and we think we're spiritual. We're something. I know how to believe. And we haven't got a clue how unspiritual we are. How little we know. We read about these things up here and everybody thought, Jesus wasn't a man. That was God doing his thing. And when he left, God left and now we're here. Oh, man. Good luck. Yeah, God lives in me, but I'm going to sin anyway. You know, you just can't live. But God's inside of me, yeah. Jesus lives in me, but, you know, I'm still an old sinner. Christianity is a mess. It is. It's just, it's the most crazy thing you ever said. God's living me. Every place I go, God goes. When I lay my hands on somebody, God's there. God's laying hands on somebody. What makes the difference? Whether we're in faith or not, we determine whether this thing works. See, everybody ought to have a healing ministry. This one of the signs, it says, those who believe. Last time I checked, I was. They'd lay on the sick and they'd recover. And people would say, I'd like to have a healing ministry. Well, read the Bible. You already got one. What are you looking for a healing ministry for? You already got a healing ministry. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Just got to find out how to use it. You know, most people, it's like handing a gun to a baby. You know, don't load it. They'll kill themselves with it. But see, you start reading the scriptures and find out how this thing works. What causes it? What causes this thing to work? What makes it happen? You know, Jesus said he knew the power went out of him. He turned to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, says, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. That's how we know about all that happened in front. She explained how it happened. And I'll tell you what, there probably wasn't many in the crowd that paid any attention. All we know is out of that multitude, she's the only one who got healed out of the bunch. She's the only. All these people are rubbing up against him, but no faith. So they ain't plugging in, so there's no power. They don't ever. All she does comes along is she's in faith, and bang, power comes right out of there, and the vacuum cleaner gets turned on. She just, boom, there it is. We're working and running. Nobody else is working and running. Why? I can rub past that socket as much as I want. Ain't nothing going to happen. It don't matter how close I go. Put my hand on it. I got to get plugged into it to get power. And faith is how you plug into it. That's how you get into the power of God. That's how it works. Hallelujah. She had told him what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, well, daughter, I healed you good, didn't I? He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. She's not an apostle. She don't hold any high position. And especially if you take in their culture, she's a woman with a flow of blood, you're on the bottom of the list. Nobody has an excuse. No one has an excuse they can't come to faith and carry out and walk in faith. If you make an excuse, it's because you choose not to. I decided a long time ago. I'd read these about them. It's like I said, when I heard Kenneth Hagin got off a deathbed by faith as a 16-year-old boy with no preachers around to tell him about faith, none of them knew anything about it. He read the Bible, believed God, and came off a deathbed with three major illnesses that there's no way they could do anything for him. And he came off, and I said, ain't no 16-year-old boy showing this guy up. I would be ashamed to call myself a Christian and a 16-year-old boy outdoing me. I said, man, I'm going to find out. I'm going to walk with God. If he can walk and he can walk in this kind of faith, I'll walk in this kind of faith. If this woman, I have no excuse. If this woman can get hooked up and go get healed, I have no excuse for myself. If you give yourself excuse, your excuse will always win. Your excuse will win. Don't let your excuses win. Throw your excuses out. I've learned. There's times that I've come along and I've taken shots at things and I really, they ain't working. I stopped. Okay, now I need, there's stuff I need to know to make, I don't know as all as I need to know. But I'm not going to make an excuse. I'm not going to go tell somebody, well, the reason it didn't work to me, God had a reason. He didn't want me to have that. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no. Those preachers that preach that, they do because of their own unbelief. They preach because God, they can't get a hold of God, so they tell everybody else, you ain't getting a hold of them either, because they'd be ashamed if the other guy got a hold of God. Hold it. Makes me look bad. So teach the people they can't get a hold of God. I'm going to tell you, you get a hold of God in an area and I don't, I'll shout with you, glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to get somewhere. I want your faith to go someplace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I never, I've heard people over the years, they say, well, so-and-so got blessed with this. And I don't understand. I don't think they live right. I don't think they're right or this, that. I'll tell you, when somebody gets blessed, I don't care who it is, I cheer them on. You never get down on somebody who, you know, got blessed and you didn't. You say, well, I want blessed like they do. Instead of sitting around criticizing them, because you ain't ever going to get nothing criticizing them. You ain't going to ever get nothing talking about them. It's one thing as I found out, I always looked at people who had something and I want to find out how they got it. I want to know and I want to learn from them how they got it. Not just sit and throw rocks at them, you know. I mean, you even sit down and look at the world. I mean, there's people in the world out here that are smart businessmen, know how to do things, and are smarter than a lot of the Christian businessmen. And the reason that is because Christian businessmen had any sense in, they'd turn around and listen to what they did to get some money. No, they'll sit around and knock them and that stuff because he ain't got saved. Well, what if he knows how to get money and how to do it honestly? I want to know how does he do it? You know, years ago, I got into photography and wanted to learn to take good pictures. And I found out, I was reading after one guy, and one guy said, if you want to learn to take good pictures, he said, you need to go and look at pictures and stuff that are taken. Whoever takes good pictures, that's who you want to learn from. You don't learn some guy just says he knows about photography and about cameras, because I found this out. Spending a lot of money on a camera was zero of a guarantee of any good pictures. You don't get good pictures because you buy a good camera. I had a camera that was worth a little over $100 and I was selling people pictures out of it. And I had friends who had cameras worth $500-$600 and they couldn't sell nothing because they never learned how to take a picture. Taking a picture is an art. And I had to learn from guys of how light works and how a camera and film worked and how that stuff, you know, because it just don't happen just because, you know, you get some guys takes a picture at the same spot and I'd look at mine and say, this is so much better than mine and we were standing at the same place. How come? Well, I had to find out about those things. You have to learn what to do. You need to know that in Christianity. Somebody, they might be messed up in an area, but if they do know how to do good, find out what they did if you want to succeed in that area. And don't be surprised, you end up being a success. Glory to God. Today, there's such an insanity. And I just got, it's like an insight. We take out here what we're dealing with out here in everyday life, and somehow we come over and come to Christianity, and we have this things that we do out there, studying and stuff, people trying to figure. Over here, we think Christianity, it just comes by osmosis. It just falls on you. If God wants you to have it, it will. God created all this stuff and the way it works out here. And it don't work any different than the church. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. If you don't study, you ain't going to show yourself approved unto God. Forget it. It's going to take time. I don't know any other way to do it than to take time. I have no other how to. I ain't figured nothing else out yet. If you got another idea, please let me know. There's one thing is I watch the people that don't spend time, and I spend time, and there's a lot that I get way far ahead of them. So until somebody can show me a better way to do it, but it's ever what you want to be good at. What do you want to be good at? I decided this. I wanted to be good at faith in God. I wanted to learn how to trust Him with my life. I wanted to know how to get to the place where I'll tell you what, I would yield to Him and not to my own flesh and not to what other people wanted. And I would yield to Him that I would trust. That's where I wanted to go to. I wanted to go to that place. We sing about this, you know, stuff today, and we sing about, you know, more of you. Do you really want more of Him? Do you know what it's going to cost? It's going to cost you for more of Him. You ain't going to get more of him singing songs about more of him. I mean, that's a good place to start. But what are you going to do this week to get more of him? Well, it's in your court, folk. You can't say, I want more of you, God, and it's just going to drop on you, you know, like cherries off a tree. Man, you and Newton, I'll tell you what, Newton and Apple hit him once. I don't know if he ever went back on the tree again. No, Christian, most Christians, they have knots on their heads from just getting in the same spot and it keeps falling on them, hitting them on the head, and it's going nowhere. You study to show yourself approved. It says rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you can wrongly divide the truth. There's loads of wrongly divided stuff preached today. Wrongly divided. That brings shame to my glorious Lord and Savior instead of magnifying Him. Talking about what He won't do instead of what He does. Bringing glory to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like I said, He's much better than we preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, healing belongs to us. We're going to keep going on and talking and teaching on these things about healing. We're going to keep looking at these things. I want everybody to get to the point where I tell you what, you can't see anything other else than God wants you well. That you don't see it any other way. So I've said before, and I'll say it again, when I was just a young Christian, I wasn't born again, probably a couple years. The Lord had me studying. When I first got born again, my first 3 years was spending a lot of a study in the areas of healing that God took me to. And I spent a lot of time in studying the scriptures in that area. And I, not just with myself studying, and I, Kenneth Hagin's, different ones of his tapes and series, and I'd books and stuff that I studied with other people that knew. I didn't learn what I did because I was so bright. There was a lot of other bright people that helped get me bright. There's a lot of other people who learned things, and I listened to them, and I listened to what they had learned and to get it into me. But the Lord said to me one day, He said, other than my people being born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, He said, the number one thing I want my people to be is healthy as well. He said, my people can't serve me and do what I want them to do because they're sick. He said, the devil makes them sick and steals their money. So He said, they can't do financially what I want them to do. He said, He makes them sick and then they can't go where I want them to go and do because the sickness dominates their life. He said, the devil dominates my people's lives. And He said, I want them well so they can do my will. See, I don't believe in God makes a person sick and are sick all their life. You know, I see people sit around and say that stuff. Well, you know, it's like I talked about last week. You know, somebody, you know, who's a deformed child is, you know, born, and people tell, they're special. What a stupid terminology to do. The devil's work. And what the church sits down and bows to it is like, it's something, well, God did it for a purpose. I'm going to tell you, I'll take you up here to the Hershey's Children's Hospital. If God's involved in any of that stuff for their kids, I'll never serve Him another day. If He's making little children, people say, well, God makes you sick to humble them. I wonder what terrible, prideful thing they did, those 5 and 6-year-old kids did, that God gave them cancer. I'm going to tell these shameful preachers and people that walk around and talk that stuff, if they had any sense in their mind, all the children that suffer out here and knucklehead Christians are standing up and saying these dumb things. And if you're sick because of your pride, it's because of sin. It's not because God did it. Well, He's trying to humble me. Well, what's the matter with you, you old prideful thing? You won't get right? If you know He's trying to humble you, then why ain't you getting humble? And we'll know when you get humble because you'd get healed. So if you're still healed, sick next week, we know this, you're full of pride. See, you turn this stuff around and actually look at it. I can't imagine that an intelligent person would talk so stupid. We don't throw these things out. We can't recognize what the devil does and what God does. What do we offer to people? What do we offer people? We can't offer them a good God. Can I offer a good God to those children up here in Hershey Medical Center? Can I offer them a good God? I can't offer them a good God. He did it to them. What do I say to their parents? God loves you. He's trying to kill your kid. He's so in love with you. God, quit loving me. I don't want you loving at me if you do that stuff. Let me alone. I only know Jesus is my healer. I don't know any about that sick stuff. I only know Him as my deliverer. That's all I know Him as. And I don't like to listen to people talk otherwise about Him. You can run me down and call me a dog, and it might be true. But don't you call Him a dog. Don't you run Him down. That makes me mad. You can stone me for it. I don't care. I'd give my life for Him. He's right. He's wonderful. He's glorious. There ain't a better one than Him. And He does no evil. And I will refuse to think evil of Him in any manner. Hallelujah. He's righteous. And God gave us His own righteousness. You and I have been made as righteous as Jesus. Why would we run Him down? When I run Jesus down, I'm running me down. Because I'm one with Him. If Jesus makes kids sick, then I'd make a child sick. I'm one with Him. Are you one with Him? You making kids sick? Jesus don't either. I'm one with Him. Hallelujah. He don't do it. See, I lived a life of sin. I got to be one with Jesus. And you know what? I don't like sin. I don't want to live a life of sin. No, I don't want it. Why? Because I'm one with Him. As He is, so are we in this world. Glory to God. We lock people up in jail for hurting other people and doing stuff, and then run around and tell people God runs around hurting everybody and doing all this ugly stuff, and we love Him. No, if He's doing it, He needs locked up just like the people. Hallelujah. You can't lock my Jesus up. He ain't never done nothing wrong. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Are you convinced God wants you well? Amen. I want you settled on that fact, that you can't think of any other way. You know, I'm going to keep teaching on this because we're just going to keep drilling it. You get so darn convinced. I want to tell you what, you're going to be the walking picture of health and healing. And not this isn't just for you. There's one thing is I wanted to learn about health and healing because I wanted to be well. But I tell you what, I want to know how to get other people well. I want to know how to other people. I tell you what, I'm a physician. I'm a physician. That's what I am. That's what I'm called to be. And that's what you're called to be. Hallelujah. We're in the healing business. We're in the fixing people business. Hallelujah. We're in the supernatural one. It's not done by our natural because we're so bright and we're so good. It's because the one that's inside of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I started off in this thing. I started off and found out how to keep my children well. I found out how with my wife and stuff, how to be able to walk in these things. My wife learned them. I learned about them. So you walk in these areas and then you can minister to other people. You know, so many people, here's one thing is, you know, don't always try to get a hold of somebody else out there. If you can't get it working in your house, forget it pretty much out there. God measures a man by what his family is. That's what being a leader in a church. The scriptures tell you, Paul wrote and said, you know, if a guy can't take care of his household, he shouldn't be in the ministry. You don't put him in the ministry. It all starts in the household. Hallelujah. God taught me to be the minister in my home. Glory to God. That's where I learned how to be in the ministry, in my home. That's where I learned how the power of God worked. That's where I learned how this stuff happened. Because I will tell you what, if you don't know how it works, and you ain't done it in your home, you go out among people, you'll be calling somebody else to come and pray for the person for you. That's what you'll be doing. Say, Pastor, would you come over and pray for them? Why don't you? Why? Because you don't know it works. That's where you find out it works at home. That's where I learned where it worked. It worked at home. Hallelujah. Then I had a boldness to go out because I had experience with it. Knew it worked. Glory to God. We practice it. Saw God working in the house. Glory to God. God can't work in my house. What, I want to take it to somebody else's house? All I'd do is get jealous if He worked in their house and didn't work in mine. Then I'd turn around and say, God, why don't you do that for me? I don't understand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, is there something else you want to do here? Hallelujah. There's something else, Lord God, that you want to carry out, that you want to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One of the things that we can do is we, you know, concern the areas of faith, we can lay hands on the sick. We can do that. Hallelujah. If somebody, you know, you have faith for that area, if you have an area that you want healing, and you want to receive it today, and what we're talking about is receiving healing. We're not just praying for it. We're not laying empty hands on empty heads. It's about receiving. That's what we're here for, to receive. Jesus said Himself, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, to believe you receive it and you'll have it. That's faith. That's the prayer of faith. If you believe, you receive it. He didn't say, come and somebody pray for you and see if something happens. He said, you're supposed to believe you receive it at the time you pray. My job is to believe I receive it. My job is not to heal me. I don't heal me. That's God's. My job is to believe I receive it. That's an easy thing to do. When I found that out, I said, my God, I can do that. Dear Lord, I can believe I can receive it. As long as I don't have to heal me, we're doing good. Hallelujah. Job, God gave us the job to believe that we receive it. It's His job to heal us. He said, we believe it, receive it, then we'll have what we say. The reason people never get what they said is because they never believed they received it. They're waiting to feel better till they say, I got it. See, that woman said, I'm going to get it when I touch Him. That's was her faith. No, no, no. When I feel better, then I'm going to tell people I got healed. Then I'm going to say I got it. I don't take no faith in that. People go to the doctor, do that. They'll only say they got better. When they feel better, they say, well, yeah, no. So that puts God's power on the level of the medicine. See why people don't get much? See, we walk by sight and call it faith. We walk by feeling and call it faith. No, I believe I receive it. Jesus said, when you believe you receive it, you'll have it. You can come right here today, and if you want to, you can receive your healing right here, right now, today. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the biblical, that's what we do. We receive it. And you walk away, you say, praise God, I received my healing. I don't check my body to see if it is going to agree with that. My job is to walk around from then on to say, I believe I receive it. Glory to God, I have it. It belongs to me. It's mine. See, doesn't it make it easy? See, if I get over tied to the feeling thing, no telling where that's going. If your flesh is like mine, it's idiot. Your flesh will lie to you. Your flesh will tell you something ain't working when it is. Your flesh will say anything. You just got to, you know, one thing, I learned how to ignore my flesh. My words, it wanted to hold me back. You know, the flesh don't like the unknown. The flesh only, faith loves the unknown naturally. It loves it. Because it can see past all that junk. Faith sees past. It sees the promise of God. That's what it sees. And it grabs a hold of that. Hallelujah. So if you want hands laid on you, come on up today. Hallelujah. You can receive your healing today. You can be delivered. Hallelujah. It's up to you if you want to. That's totally up to you. I ain't going to try to force you. I'm just making an opportunity. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Faith will make you whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just come right over here, right in front. Just right here. Okay, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, what'd you come for?
I have been having a foggy brain and getting ready for a wedding, and I need that to be lifted.
Now, let me just say this to you. I ask you what you come for, and you're telling me what your problem is. No, not what I'm doing. Now, you understand what do you want to happen today?
I want to be free. Okay.
Okay. That's what you see. This is our natural. Now, look, I'm just going to, but get this. Because most of them up here, most people will, that's exactly what they don't come to talk or speak anything about their faith. What they came for, they're going to tell you what their problem is. I'm not knocking you for this. They're all in the same boat, you know. Most people come, and that's what they do. The first thing they do is walk up and tell you what the problem is. Now, when Jesus talked to blind Bartimaeus, what did he do? He said, what did you come for? Did blind Bartimaeus say, well, you know, I tell you what, I've been blind so many years, and I've been saying, oh, and I'll tell you, what life's been hard. I'll tell you, this is... He didn't do that. Now, think about it. He didn't do that. Hallelujah. Smile, you're getting healed. God's good. You can get a happy tears. You can have that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What we're going to do, and now look, we're acting in faith together. This is a wonderful thing that we have as Christians. Because, see, we can agree with the person. To agree is but touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. My God, we got power. It's phenomenal. Hallelujah. We're plugging right into heaven's power. We ain't going the 110 line, we're going the 220. That's what we're going after. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, if we believe and receive it, and today, all your job is to believe today that He gave it to you. Throw any thought out of your mind that would say to you today that maybe God says yes or maybe God says no. Maybe it's not in God's timing. Throw that one out. God's timing. That's right. 2,000 years ago, He started the healing clock. It's been running for 2,000 years. It's the timing of healing. We're living in the days of the healing. We're the church. We've been living in this salvation day. Hallelujah. And it's yours today. Today we're just plugging in and taking what belongs to you. It already belongs to you. Jesus already won this victory for you. Jesus already has it for you. He's smiling. He's not mad at you. He's not upset. Doesn't matter if you missed the mark. The Bible said we've confessed our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He ain't nervous either. He's good. And He's going to good because you're ask and it says, and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. That's Scripture. Does that sound like He's holding back? No. So what I'm going to do, this what James said. James said the prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. The prayer of faith is this. We're going to pray and believe that you receive your healing and deliverance today in the name of Jesus. That's just that simple. We don't have to do a whole bunch of rigmarole. You have a covenant with God. Father, I want to thank you for my dear sister. I thank you for your great love for her. And Lord God, you loved her before she ever came to you, but now, Lord God, she's yours. And you made this wonderful covenant through Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I want to thank you today. Oh, my word, she belongs to you. She's seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. Father, she's seated, hallelujah, with the one who loves her, the one who saved her. And I want to thank you, Lord God, we can easily believe today that she receives her healing and deliverance today in the name of Jesus. It's hers. Lord God, you're holding nothing back from her. You're giving to her right now. Yes, Lord God, your goodness and your mercy is working inside of her right now. Hallelujah. Lord God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, rest in peace is working in her. Rest in peace. Yes, yes, it's hers. All that good, all that wonderful things that you got for her. Oh, Lord God, the package is being opened in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She's delivered and free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. 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 He's a working in you. You know, I like to tell people this about the anointing. The anointing is much like medicine. We put medicine, doctor gives us medicine, we put it in our body to go to work. The anointing is the same way. The anointing is in there, thank God, the anointing is in there working, bringing a healing and cure to your body, to your mind, whatever. It's in there working. It's just, it's better than medicine, but it's in there working. It doesn't stop just because I laid hands on you, took my hands off. That anointing went into you, and you know that. The anointing went into you, and that anointing is in you, working in you. Hallelujah. Performing what it was sent to do. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's thank God our sister's free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for freeing our sister. Thank you, Lord God. You're so good, and you love her so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you restored her joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. God's good, isn't He? Hallelujah. He sure likes you, don't He? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, come over here. And I'll have you stand over here. Hallelujah. What do you want delivered from?
Well, I think I've been delivered. That's why I showed up here this morning.
Yeah.
But since you gave the invitation, I thought I'm going to make sure.
What are you making sure? You either are or you're not.
I am.
Hallelujah.
I was fighting through something physically this week. I know not what.
Yeah.
And here at the end of the week, I started feeling a little better.
Yeah.
But I still worked all week as much as I could, but it was, you know, the way it was.
Yeah.
The end of this week, started feeling better and started breaking out in a rash. Now, I said the badness is coming out, but I know how some rashes can be. And I want no parts of it.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, are you going to be healed today?
Oh, you bet.
Okay, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, you've been healed, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'll just tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to agree with you that you're healed. Hallelujah, Father, I want to thank you. My brother said he is healed.
Yes.
And Lord God, I just agree with him that his body is well.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes.
I thank you that his body is recovering, hallelujah. Quickly, quickly, quickly,
yes.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name,
thank you.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah, praise God. 2 degrees by touching anything you ask, it shall be done. So hallelujah, that was easy enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see why? It's one of the things we have a great advantage, like in a church setting. You know, you go to big meetings lots of times because sometimes they're ministering to hundreds and hundreds of people. You can't really take time. And this is where I really think the church has really hurt is another thing. Lots of times we take ministry like this and they hide it in a back room somewhere. One of the ways I learned ministering to people by watching people being ministered to. We've messed up in the church today. We're hiding everything in the back room and the Holy Ghost ain't going with them. The Holy Ghost wants Jesus magnified in front of everybody. This back room ministry, sometimes there may be a need for something like that, but majority of time it's not. We need to get it out and exposed and let the Holy Ghost reveal Jesus and His goodness and mercy to people because we learn from these experiences. We don't just like, because I talked to our sister, I wasn't doing anything to shame her. And we can learn from our experiences with us and learn, and this is an opportune time to do it. Hallelujah. We're supposed to all be in the same team, not looking down on somebody. Hallelujah. And if somebody's looking down on somebody, they got trouble. They got a problem. We're not. You know, and so we do these things in ministry because it helps us all. And we all get to stand together with the individual. That's what we want. The corporate anointing is greater than any individual anointing. The body of Christ has the full measure of the anointing of God, but no individual does. No individual has the full measure of the anointing. No one has everything. Hallelujah. If you did, we wouldn't need any other gifts. We'd one person could do it all. Hallelujah. Last time I checked, I ain't the guy on that list. You can't do it all. Hallelujah. But I know what I can do. And you understand this, and this will help you concerning with how God works with me, so you know how God works with me in ministering the areas of healing. Let me say this to you. There are different ministries of healing. There are some people who are called to a ministry of healing. This is not gifts of healing. This is some people are called specific and have special anointings by God. Kenneth Hagin was one of them. You look at Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was a guy who did. We have Benny Hinn today. Benny Hinn has a healing ministry. He has an anointing, special anointing was given to him. Now, they too, in the same way, can have at times gifts of healing operate through them. It's one of the things is I'll explain some of that a little more. Now, sometimes gifts of healing may work through me or other gifts of the Spirit operate through me. But my major way of getting people healed as God dealt with me on is the fact of the Lord taught me how to come over and walk in divine health and how to walk in how divine healing works. And my job is to teach people that so they can get a hold of it. Most of the time, God doesn't operate through me through gifts of the Spirit. He does at times. Most of the time, God operates through me ministering the Word to somebody, bringing them to faith, and to get the same results. I've had as many as miraculous, more, in fact, more miraculous results happening on teaching on faith and getting a person to believe and get the result as I've had through gifts of the Spirit. And you need to know this, when you get to the point where you understand how to use your faith, you won't need gifts of the Spirit. You can have what the Word says you can have right away. You don't have to wait to try to find some special anointing to do something. You can operate in it at any time. That's my major call to do. That's what I'm majorly called to do. That's what I'll be doing most of the time, is I'm always trying to get people over into the area of faith so they can get a hold of what they need. Because once they learn that, then they can just get a hold of it at any time. Anytime they need it, they can stand in faith. The greatest place that you can stand in faith is not gifts of the Spirit. It's not special ministry. It's you believing God's Word yourself and taking a hold of it and getting it. That's the highest level. The highest level is not all that. See, we look, oh boy, go to the meetings and if we have gifts of the Spirit or this happens. That's, no, you being able to believe the Word for yourself, taking a hold of it and getting what God's Word said is the highest level you can walk in. That's the highest place you can walk in. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you this. There's not one of us that can't go there. That's the wonderful glory of God. It isn't tied to some special minister. It's not tied to some special thing. It isn't tied to Ed Gibson because he has an anointing to teach and preach the Word. It ain't tied to. It is tied to whoever believes the Word. Hallelujah. You can all be women with the woman with the issue of blood. You can all be blind Bartimaeus. You can all be the 10 lepers. You can all be that. Hallelujah. You can all do. You believe and you can have it too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hakatish nambra de fosisa la katoshnene voron, brakitilo brone me vergeashida, donde levre de gesisa sakoniano barete fisi, ronde berego de ashilia la brigadushke la bruga de skila fran, fronte geskilia toske la conte la brupa frasia tushe. For I've opened the door in this day and this time. And there is my anointing, says God, that is available to my people that are going to lead them in these last days to walk in a place where they have not walked before and into a level of faith that they have not walked in before. For my word will be opened up and revealed like never before. And light will shine upon the hearts of men and women who have hungered to know the truth. And the truth will flow into them like a river. And yes, they will not be dams in these last days, but they will be rivers that let my word flow. And I will reveal myself through them. And I will show myself, and great glory will come to the name of Jesus. And great glory will shine forth. And my people shall rise up. Hallelujah. As stars in these last days of great light upon the hills and the mountains of the nations. And glory shall come and fall. Hallelujah. And many shall come to walk in the light who have never seen the light. And there's ones who have once walked in the light who have strayed away. They will come back to the light and they will walk in it. Hallelujah. And these are the days of my glory. And I've called you to these days. So come and walk in them. I'm sending you an invitation today. Come and walk in it. For I have chosen you to come and walk. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord shall rest upon you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I take the invitation. I take the invitation. I take the invitation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know if I did anything for you. It did something for me today, I'll tell you. Preaching the Word just turns me on. I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you, like pouring gas on a fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I don't get any sense the Holy Ghost wants to do anything else.